From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 10th day of March 2014. It's USDA WASD Report Day. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about those numbers with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and how the futures markets reacted in Chicago. The projected corn ending stocks, by the way, were lowered by 25 million bushels. The soybean stocks are projected at just 145 million bushels. That's down 5 million from last month. The wheat numbers were unchanged. And still, the marketplace failed during the day. We'll try to figure out why that happened. We'll look at the cash grain market, too. The folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will join us, and we'll discuss the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois, as we make our way through this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. The March contract at 6.45, down a penny and a quarter today. July at 6.46 in the soft red, down 13 cents. Hard red July, that's your new crop at $7.04.5, down 10.5 cents. March corn futures, 9 cents lower, $4.72. The settlement price, the May at 4.78 and a quarter, down 10 and 3 quarters. And July corn, 482 and a quarter, 10 and 3 quarters lower. December futures, 478, down 6 and 3 quarters. The March at 484 and a half, down 5 and 3 quarters. March soybeans at $14.19 and a quarter cents, down 38 and a quarter. May at 1418 and 3 quarters, down 39. And July at $13.94 and a quarter, down 30 and a half cents. November beans of next year, down a dime and 3 quarters of a cent at $11.76 and a half. And January at $11.80 and a quarter, down 10 and 3 quarters. Bean meal at $4.52.70. Then a finished $12.30 lower. The bean oil at $43.64. Finished 45 cents lower on the day. Live cattle futures in the April at $143.15. Down a dime. June up 52 and a half at $136.40. The feeders in the March contract at $173.70, up $1.32 and a half. In the April at $175.70, up $1.32 and a half. Or rather, $175.72 and a half, up $2.07. That in the April. April lean hogs at $116, finished the limit higher, up $3. May at $120.70, $2.95 higher. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. We do come to you from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, $101.11 a barrel, down $1.46. The RBOB gasoline, that's the wholesale price, $2.95. That's 2 3/10 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $2.26.7, 3 9/10 cents lower, and the spread between the two is 68 3/10 cents wide. That's a penny and a half narrower than yesterday. Natural gas at $4.64.9, up 3 1/10 cents. And diesel fuel, $2.96.5, down 4 7/10 cents. Gold futures at $1,341.50 an ounce, finished $3.30 higher. And the U.S. dollar on the day at 79.76. is up 0.04 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 63 degrees. At a west-southwest wind at about 15 miles an hour, that a gust all the way to 24 in the immediate area for the afternoon. And then this evening, partly cloudy, a low of 37, west-southwest winds at 8 to 13. Tomorrow, sunny skies and 60. Calm winds out of the east-northeast at 5 to 9 miles an hour. And then on Tuesday evening, rain will come, possibly mixed with sleet. That starts around 8 in the evening and runs through 2 a.m. And then snow likely after that. Cloudy with a low of 29 degrees. Winter just won't let go. Blustery. And northeast winds at 14 to 20 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 33. Chance of rainfall or precipitation, snowfall about 70%. New snow and sleet accumulation of 1 to 2 inches in the area. That on Tuesday evening. And then on Wednesday, snow likely mainly before 8 in the morning, mostly cloudy and 33 degrees. It'll be breezy on a north wind at 8 to 23 miles an hour, gusting to 34. Chance of precipitation at 70% Wednesday with new snowfall accumulation then of 1 to 2 inches. More on the weather forecast when we get closer to the bottom of the half hour.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
On the phone now with us to check the futures markets from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, is Kurt Kimmel. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, when we saw the numbers come out from USDA, it was not that big a deal. The wheat number said, we didn't change anything. And then in the soybeans, they managed to lower things, and we dropped to, 5 million bushels out of the ending stocks for the year and finished up at 145, still a tight supply. And in the corn, they dropped 25 million bushels, and now we're at an ending stocks of 1.456 billion bushels. Didn't change much, but in Chicago, they must have looked somewhere else for brand new news.
Well, yeah, they, numbers within expectations, no shocker. What's a million here or a million there, for say. So we'll see how things go on, but they were looking at the big move up here as the market was overbought. It takes, a lot of bullish news to keep the bull. You got to feed the bull every day. And so kind of ran out of so-called bullish news for now. China's probably, the front and center. We saw, some shuffling around of some bean purchases last Friday. Then their economic data kind of flat here. It's still positive, but we're taking a step back on the growth sector. Talk of Chinese steel futures hitting some record lows. So a little concern in China. Then, too, Canada's government stepped in and told the railroads, you're going to start shipping this stuff or you're going to start facing some fines. So, looking for a little bit more freer movement to our neighbors to the north here. All this coupled with the big up move we had, we're due for some type of correction here for a little bit.
Correction tells me that there's some move left to the upside. I take it you agree. You think that is actually the case?
Well, we'll see what develops here. For the move we've seen at this time of year and looking at the big fundamental picture, you have to watch it fairly close. I imagine we'll maybe be in a consolidation type of trading pattern here until we see what the March 31st reports show us. We're going to see a March stocks report. That's going to be a good fundamental benchmark to judge, how strong, what our usage is, and so forth. Then, too, the planning's intentions report to give the trading idea of actual surveys taking place on what the intentions are of the producers on this upcoming 2014 crop.
Do you have any guesses for acreage?
Well, it's a good one to look at here when you compare where we were last fall and this winter and this spring, but we're still sticking with the idea bean acreage is going to be up around this 81 million acre level. If winter does not let up, it might inch a little higher than that due to the guys in the north not being able to get anhydrous on or get in time, but we still got some time on that. 81 million bean acres, and you put a 44 bushel yield on it, was kind of high. You're going to look at close to 300 million bushel carry out. Whereas the corn number, probably around this 92, 93 million acre area. When you put a 163 yield on it, we're going to be close to about 1.9 billion bushels. But weather's going to dictate those numbers quite a bit in through here as the trade is anxious to see this forecast warm up.
You mentioned consolidation. Can you stay with me for just a second in the soybean market in specific? Because it was a pretty good drop, 38 and a quarter cents in the March. November, we're down 10 and three quarters. Both are still with inside last week's range, I think, on the weekly. So we still have some potential on the downside or support, I suppose, however you want to see that. Do you think these are levels that can be maintained in both the old and the new crop? And what really happened there today?
Oh, well, basically, fundamental news a little negative, and we start creeping below the previous day's low and saw some liquidation. I imagine tomorrow morning we'll see the open interest go down on today's trade. The May contract right around this 1402 area was near the low we had there last week. I think $14 needs to kind of hold here to keep the trend up for, say, in the old crop. New crop November, I would think right around this 1165, 1162 area is going to be kind of a key benchmark to walk here through. That's where some moving averages come up and comparable to last week's low too. Failure to hold those areas, you're going to see the bean market probably start to see some weak knees in through here as it kind of violates those support levels.
You mentioned the problems that they're having with rail traffic in the northern part of the Midwest along the Canadian border. What kinds of difficulties does it create for corn, soybeans, wheat there? And what is the basis level for those products been doing? Do you know?
Well, it's been a major one front and center, of course, has been the oat market. Second has been the wheat. Then followed by corn and beans, not so much those individually, but, you know, the canola and canola oil, oilseed oil, and so forth. Basically, just destroyed the basis for the Canadian producer, just the fact they couldn't get it shipped out. They had enough inventory bought that they were just backloaded in here. So even though we saw a huge rally on the futures in here, the Canadian farmer did not enjoy spillover support. You know, that we saw here in the futures market here. So it's been a thorn in the side to them, and freeing up, getting that moved out is a big relief for the Canadian farmer if it does happen.
Yeah, if they get the rail cars and they manage to get this freed up, does that mean there will be a glut of grains and oilseeds that come on the marketplace? And is that a problem for basis in the rest of the United States?
I believe it's going to keep basis in check for the northern half of the U.S., you know, you're going to have grain move more freely. You know, as the lakes thaw in here, you might see some pop-up demand here to later on this spring to ship some grain out at a lake region here. But I would imagine basis is about as firm as it's going to get, and that the next basis play would be later on this spring here once the producer gets in the field and his attention is towards corn and bean planting.
Kurt, thanks so much.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday afternoon to take a look at the marketplace.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Well, in just about an hour, I'll be headed to John Deere in Moline, Illinois on the Follow the Corn bus trip, thanks to all the folks that are going along with me. Dave Dickey will be handling the closing market report. I'm sure you'll be in good hands, and he'll take care of it on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. I'll try to bring back some information from John Deere about the tractors and the combines, and especially about that brand new Exact Emerge planter unit. In fact, we'll be seeing one of those tomorrow afternoon when we visit John Deere again. I'll have more information for you as we make our way through this week, and I happen to get back from the Moline, Illinois John Deere plants. Now, up next, you know, Congressman Sam Graves out of Northwest Missouri has expressed his support for a lawsuit that was filed last week against the Army Corps of Engineers.
I think the lawsuit has a lot of merit. I think there's a lot of things that I hope come out of it. The bottom line is we had a lot of farmers damaged by the management of the river.
The lawsuit was filed by Roger Idaker of Idaker Farms in Northwest Missouri. It claims landowners there are owed compensation under the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution for the unconstitutional taking of property without compensation.
We already know for a fact that the Corps of Engineers has got exposure in this, and they've got some liability in this. You know, the courts have already determined that. So these farmers are looking to recover some of those damages, and I'm hoping for a speedy end to it.
A speedy end may not be likely. An attorney working on the lawsuit estimated it may take 3 to 5 years to complete. Attorney Eddie Smith says the first thing that will happen will be a motion to dismiss. The motion is standard to weed out the frivolous lawsuits.
We obviously don't think we fall in that. We absolutely believe that we will survive a motion to dismiss. So once that goes, then you get into all the discovery. So these kind of cases, and, you know, this is fairly unique. It's not the first of its kind, but it's certainly unique, and given the size, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 years, and it may may even be longer, but you know, you can expect it'll be a lengthy process.
Smith works for a law firm headquartered in Kansas City that is representing more than 200 farmers, landowners, and business owners that have joined the lawsuit. Let's now move from the river system to the rail transportation system. This one comes from the northern plains as farmers there are trying to sell cash soybeans. They're finding more and more elevators with really poor bases or that just won't accept beans. In Reynolds, North Dakota, for instance, Reynolds United Co-op General Manager Paul Coppin says the uncertainty of getting rail cars is creating a tough situation.
A lot of them went to no bid or certainly a wide basis just because the uncertainty of the freight, they just can't get a sale on. The buyers are reluctant to buy much of anything right now just because they don't know when they're going to get it. So it's a tough situation right now.
A Reynolds United Co-op is currently bidding cash beans $2, that is $2 under the July futures. Coppin says he's never seen this wide a basis in his entire career.
If you do buy some beans, I don't honestly know what I would do with them right now, but there is a price out there. Some have went to new crop prices. We're kind of the same boat. We just don't know what to do or how to bid the beans too. So it's a tough situation out there right now.
That's Paul Coppin with Reynolds United Co-op. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. We post all of our agricultural programming there not long after it airs on our radio stations. The address again, willag.org. Agricultural programming on demand on your schedule 24 hours a day, anytime you'd like to listen to us. Now, up next, you know, there's a question circulating furiously through the nation's hog barns, on the trading floor in Chicago, and in corporate boardrooms. Everyone wants to know how many pounds of pork are going to be available in April and May and June and July. I'll have more with Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt. PEDV stands for porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. This disease has been spreading through the nation's hog barns since last summer, and producers haven't been able to control it. And the spread has become so wide it has caused the price of pork to skyrocket on fears there will not be enough supply to meet demand. Well, Purdue Extension Ag economist Chris Hurt has pondered the price spike and the reality behind it.
So far this year, the number of animals coming to market has actually been very close to the numbers indicated in the USDA December Hogs and Pigs report. When adjusted for the number of slaughter days compared to last year, the slaughter count so far is down about 0.5%. However, market weights, of course, have been higher by about 2.5%, and that is resulting in total pork production being up about 2%.
So, to this point, the supply of pork has been impacted sharply by the disease. However, the markets are looking forward into March, April, May, June, and July.
The lean hog futures market has extremely high price expectations for the March through July period this year. This is apparently due to the expectations of small slaughter supplies due to the death losses of PED. Projected lean hog prices for this March to July time period are about $105 on a lean basis on average, and that compares to a much more modest $86 for the same period a year ago in 2013.
If the low hog supplies are thought to be the cause of the sharply higher prices, then Hertz says it appears the trade believes the number of hogs coming to market in the March to July time period will be down 7 to 10% from the previous year. It's a sizable drop that does not correlate well with USDA production figures. However, it may be that many of the piglets counted by the agency in December died from the virus. This is what the high price is alluding to for the second quarter.
The third quarter 2014 supplies this year are going to be drawn heavily from the winter farrowings, and here's where the numbers get very uncertain. Winter farrowing intentions were actually up 1.3%, but since the PED virus kills the baby pigs, the number of pigs weaned per litter could have been down sharply. This is where nobody knows for sure.
It'll be a difficult period for those pricing pork. For instance, if, as Hurt believes, the second quarter slaughter numbers are off 3 to 4% rather than 7 to 10% like the trade believes, well, then the market has rallied far, too far, already. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The 25th annual All Day Ag Outlook Day was a huge success. We want to thank everyone who attended, and we want to thank our participating businesses for their support. Pioneer Seed, Risk Management Commodities, Standard Grain, Stuart Peterson, and Farm Credit, Illinois.
Well, you're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Monday afternoon. Let's check the cash grain market on the phone line. Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Greg, I want to go through some numbers very quickly. The first one, of course, is the average season's cash price for wheat. Now, USDA says that will range from $6.75 to $6.95, and it's exactly what it was when it came out last month. For soybeans, the range is $12.20 to $13.70. It had previously been $11.95 to $13.45, so it moved that up a bit. And in corn, it narrowed it up. It's now $4.25 to $4.75, and that changed from $4.20 to $4.80. So I don't think they really changed the midpoint on that one, but they did narrow the range up on the corn at this point. What did you think of the numbers when they came out?
Well, the government really didn't change a whole lot. The bean ending stocks number down only 5 million bushels. That was accomplished with the help of them saying that we're going to import more beans, and we probably will from South America. I guess if you get the price high enough, there is an incentive to import beans from South America. And the USDA typically, historically, never does want to get that carryout down below 125 million, even though, you know, it may be at some point in time this spring or this summer. But, you know, we'll import beans from South America, I think is what they're assuming. And so we will end up eventually with 140 million bushel carryout. But you may have to have higher prices in order to do that.
Yeah, well, we didn't have higher prices today in the bean market.
Well, we've had higher prices, though, for the last month. I mean, you know, the farmers are basically out of old crop beans, you know, and so it was just kind of a poker game between the few players that are left, and you know, it's always dangerous to be the last one, whether you need that last little bit or you're holding the last little bit.
So if today was a poker game, will we get back to normal once we start trading again this afternoon?
Well, I think, the report, you know, is a one-day thing, and now we'll go back to worrying about whether China cancels more bushels, whether they buy more bushels. You know, we'll go back to the same things we've been talking about. I think the report was basically just a one-day event.
And speaking of China, I saw a report, and it was only on what China is importing, and not soybeans specifically, but in general, that their economy is cooling down enough that they haven't been importing as much as they had. Did you see that? Will that have much of an impact over time?
I think it'll have more of an impact on the metals. I think the metals directly relate to the Chinese economic activity. I think food, I think they still are going to need food, whether their economy is growing at 6%, 7%, or 8%. That's a big deal for industrial metals, but for food, I don't know that really has much of a correlation.
Farmers still willing to talk about making old and new crop sales with you?
Old crop sales especially, yes. Didn't see a lot of new crop selling today, but we've definitely seen a lot of old crop sales. In the corn market, like I say, we've been out of beans for a while, but old crop corn sales have, you know, farmers are doing a good job of selling into this rally. And even with a 10 cent down day today, if you look at the chart in the big picture, these are still very good prices.
And your bids.
Okay, cash corn tonight is 464, new corn 453, old beans 1429, new beans 1156. And new wheat, 626.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report to take a look at the cash grain market. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the weather forecast with the guys at Earth Risk Technologies.
It's National Blueberry Popover Day. Food historians are in agreement. Popovers are an American recipe derived from Yorkshire pudding from 17th century England. The oldest known reference to popovers is in 1850, and the first cookbook to print a popover recipe was Practical Cooking by M.N. Henderson, published in 1876. Popovers were originally made by cooking the batter in custard cups lubricated with drippings from roast beef or pork. On this day in agricultural history in 1845, John Chapman died. He was better known as Johnny Appleseed. An American pioneer, he planted apple seeds in the Ohio River Valley area of Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana. Appleseed planted nurseries rather than orchards, and he built fences around them to protect them from livestock. He obtained apple seeds for free from cider mills, and he went barefoot year-round. In 1867, Lillian D. Wald was born. She was a scientist and nurse, and among her activities, she helped initiate the enactment of pure food laws in the U.S. Wald also took on major industries, lobbying for health inspections of the workplace in order to protect workers. And in 1873, John Torrey died. He was the first professional botanist in the New World. A mountain peak in Colorado is named for him, and Torrey climbed the mountain for the first time when he was 76 years old, where he gathered alpine plants that he had named 50 years earlier. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's check in on the agricultural weather forecast. Mark Russo is with us from Earth Risk Technologies out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Hey, good afternoon, Todd.
Looks like we are going to have the continuation of a beautiful day today and into the evening tonight, maybe tomorrow. But eventually things turn back to winter here in our part of the world. Is that right?
Yeah, unfortunately, the great spring-like weather here will not last very long, as we do see another round of Arctic air begin to move into the region tomorrow night and into Wednesday, and that'll be accompanied by a storm system, which will help usher that Arctic air for the south. It will bring prospects here of snow, kind of a wintry mix, sleet, snow, coming up here for overnight, tomorrow night, into Wednesday. And then that storm system will actually get cranked up more and produce more widespread snow in areas of Indiana, Ohio, into the Great Lakes and Northeast. So yeah, certainly winter is not over here, Todd. And in fact, looking out further, we do see this colder bias here continuing over the next couple of weeks, which it's really just these next couple of days, the warmest time frame, both actual and basis normal, over the next two-week time frame.
Can you take me first again through the storm track this time around and where it might hit hardest, and then tell me some more about that colder air mass that will stay with us for 2 weeks and how much below average we might be?
Yeah, well, the storm system here is going to be tracking the center of it, moving across southern Illinois, southern Indiana tomorrow night into Wednesday morning. And it does look to produce then a swath of snow across central and north central Illinois, about as far north as the northern section of Illinois, including Chicago. Within that here, we do see snow totals in the range of about 1 to 4 to 5 inches, some isolated heavier amounts. The storm will produce even higher snow totals further east in Indiana and Ohio. As behind the storm system, we do see with the Arctic air coming through, then temperatures crashing. And across Illinois, we do see then temperatures will be in the teens for lows again into Wednesday and Thursday mornings, highs just climbing into the upper 30s, lower 40s. So that snow will not be staying much with it. We do see actually temperatures warming back up again briefly, not as warm as the next couple of days, and then temperatures then bias again colder than normal, highs only in the low 40s much of the weekend and much of next week with minimum temperatures then in the 20s.
But do you see, and this is the time of the year we should have a change, do we see a pattern change coming anytime soon?
No. We do not see anything here.
Oh, that's not good
pattern,
news.
That's basically has been stuck here since November, you know, give or take, yeah. These very brief stretches. There's just no sign of this changing here, Todd, as the pattern looks, again, firmly locked in place as we go through the next few weeks.
Mark, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
All right. You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He's with Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Enjoy this afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.